Hello, and welcome to the Hearth and Hedge podcast. My name is Amberly, and I'm so pleased to have you join me today. Today's guest is a Lendermendist and an award-winning blogger. She presents at divination conferences in both the United States and abroad. She lives and writes in Southern California. Please welcome author of The Language of Lendermend, A Practical Guide for Everyday Divination, Erica Robinson.
Hi, nice to be here.
Nice to have you. I'm so excited. You know, this was really my first experience with Lendermend.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Well, it's not as well known, obviously, as tarot or anything. I mean, overseas it is, in Europe and South America, other places it is. But in the United States, it's less known.
Yeah, I'm excited to bring it to my listeners because, you know, I ask the same question at the end of almost all of my podcasts. Is it Oracle or Tarot? Which do you prefer? But I never have added Lendermend in there. So now I should add that.
Perfect.
Do you want to take a moment just to introduce yourself and tell the listeners where you come from and all
sure.
that fun stuff?
So, I'm originally from the East Coast, was raised in New York, am Harvard educated, have a divinity degree, taught for 30 years in public school, English, and I am widowed for quite a number of years now, have one daughter, am in a relationship now, which caused me to move from the East Coast all the way to San Diego. And I love San Diego. I wish I'd made this move way earlier. And I'm retired, of course, from teaching now. And I read cards and write books, and that's my life right now.
That's great. That's great. I love San Diego too. It's really a fun place. Actually, my sister lives just north of San Diego in Leucadia.
Okay.
Yeah,
I love California.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's absolutely great weather.
Yeah.
Just wonderful. Wonderful. So one of the questions I ask all of my guests is, what are you drinking? Are you drinking anything fun today?
I am drinking ginger mint tea, Bigelow, and my black don't crack mug is holding it.
Nice.
So yes, that's my drink of choice because it's only 2:30 in the afternoon here.
It sounds delicious. I'm drinking finally hot coffee, but it's decaf because it's 5:30 here.
Exactly.
So I would be up all night.
Exactly.
So are you reading anything good right now?
Yeah. I have to say that I cannot say enough good things about Maria Menounos's new book. It's called Tarot for the Hard Work. I think I actually have it down here. Yes, with one of my own bookmarks from my book. But this is Tarot for the Hard Work by Maria Menounos. And
okay. She
essentially, you know, the sort of the rest of the title is An Archetypal Journey to Confront Racism and Inspire Collective Healing. And I think it's a really brilliant book by someone who, I mean, she's a terrific person, but the book is something that is, I think, very much needed in the magical community. And I wish more people would choose to pick it up and read it.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you brought it up. I will link it on my resources page and I actually might want to have her on the podcast.
And then the other one is Ancestral Tarot, I Have Cracked Open Again. That's the book by my partner. And I think that's just an evergreen book. And it's great to read in conjunction with Tarot for the Hard Work.
Awesome. That sounds great. I love ancestry work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just writing these down so that I can make sure.
Yeah.
And link to them later. So do you have a favorite author?
No.
Any kind, it doesn't matter.
I don't. And, you know, And that might sound odd to you, but again, I taught English for 30 years, world literature, American literature. So I think for me to say this one is my favorite would be doing everybody else a huge disservice. My favorite is whoever I'm reading in the moment.
That's a great answer. And actually, as I was going through your book, I did notice that you are very well read, and I was enjoying all the little excerpts you have from Emily Dickinson and other poets throughout there. That was really fantastic.
Yeah, I did sprinkle quite a bit of literature through the book, and that's just because I have in my memory banks all of these quotations and things again from 30 years of teaching. And so it might seem a little odd in a divination book, but I think that though they held my hand, all those authors, as I wrote my book. So
I think it's fantastic. I was an English major, so it hit me right.
Right, I'm glad.
So do you want to talk a little bit about your book?
Sure.
Tell us about where it came from and how it came to be.
Okay, so I started out with Lenormand maybe when I was a new widow, actually, and I already read tarot, and a friend gave me a Lenormand deck. I was completely unfamiliar with it. There was only one resource written in English on it. Sylvie Steinbach was the writer, the author. It's called Secrets of the Lenormand Oracle. And I memorized that book, and I read French, and all the other resources on this book were only in French and German. So I couldn't read the German, but I could certainly read the French, and I read all those. And then I practiced on anybody I could find, and they'd run the other way until they realized, wait, she's good. And then I'd have to run away from them. And then I thought, well, you know, all my friends and family are telling me that I'm good, but, you know, they're my friends and family. So I wanted to expand. So I went online to different forums in social media, and I offered to read. And I started out by saying, I'll do 5 readings. And I would do those 5 readings and type out with my little thumbs on my phone these long narrative responses to questions that I would get, like, what does he think about him? And it was great training because, you know, I don't know the context, I don't know the players, but the cards do. Mm-hmm. So I would do those. And then the next time I would come on, I'd say, okay, I'll do 5 readings. And 50 people would have questions. And then I'd say, okay, I'll do 10. And then 100 people. So this grew and grew and grew. All of this was me doing this work for free, doing it for 2 reasons. One was to sort of really build my muscles. And 2, it was to help people. Mm-hmm. Well, what I didn't realize was that the great Lenormand readers of the world were watching my work. And these are largely Europeans, some Americans, but largely European. And they would send me private messages saying, you know, we see your work. You're terrific. Keep it up. And that was sort of out of the blue, a huge boost. And then there was a metaphysical shop, a very popular metaphysical shop near where I lived. They contacted me and they said, we heard you read. Do you want to come do it in the shop? And I said, well, I'm a teacher. And they said, well, don't you have weekends off? And I was like, yeah. So I would read there on the weekends. Then I retired, and it was just before COVID. So I had a whole year where I was retired and I worked full time at the shop. It was very popular shop. So I would read 20, 30 people in a day. Wow. So that really, as I said, built my muscles up. And I was approached by Weiser, Red Wheel Weiser, the publisher, asked me if I would write a book on Lenormand. And I mean, you know, I do like to write. I'm a good writer, as you can imagine, teaching English for 30 years. I better be a good writer. I do college consulting as well, winding that career up, but helping kids craft their college essays. So I know what good writing looks like. And I thought, well, this will be a fun project. So I wrote the book. They didn't have to edit anything, which was nice. So I didn't have to redo or whatever. And it's been It's taken off, I would say, really, really well. My goal in the book was to write something for a couple of groups of people. And this is not in necessarily the order, any kind of order, but certainly tarot people who tend to feel one of two ways about Lenormand. Either they think it's what they call a basic bitch. You know, it can help you find your keys. But beyond that, it's just so basic. Or they're incredibly intimidated because they look at it and it seems like it should be easy. But I mean, they can't read it. So that was one group. The other group that I wanted to write for was people who don't realize that they have a connection to spirit, that they don't need intermediaries, intercessors. They don't need to go into anybody, that there is a system that they can learn and immediately feel tapped in. I wanted to have them feel about Lenormand the way I felt, which was as a new widow, you know, nobody really likes a widow because, you know, it's like a reminder of the mortality of it all. And so I knew that. And so I didn't want to inflict myself or my worries or my anxieties on any of my friends. So I would ask the cards. And I would say, you know, I would ask them all kinds of things like, am I going to be able to keep the house? How am I going to be able to keep the house? Am I going to be able to send my daughter to college? How am I going to be able to send my daughter to college? You know, am I gonna live through this grief? Will I? All the questions that you would ask a friend who, you know, once they've heard the same questions over and over, start to kind of roll their eyes, or the questions that you would ask someone at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? But you never would, because who's going to call somebody up at three? And Lenormand was that kind of friend for me. I could ask the question as many times as I want, and Lenormand would be very kind and gentle and give me the same answer, but say it in different words over and over again until I understood it. So I really wanted to write a book that people would feel was a comfort and a source of solace and support. And I think I've achieved that.
Yeah, I agree. And it does make it so, so accessible. And I can see that you're coming at it as a teacher of language, because you make it, you present it as sentences, coming up with sentences, which was just absolutely the perfect way to describe it to me.
Well, because see, this is what a lot of people don't understand when they first come to Lenormand, is that unlike tarot, which is an imagistic language, of course, and everything in a single card has so much significance. Like you can do a whole tarot reading on a single card. Lenormand, it's not that way. Lenormand is a word language. And that's why I say in the book, you know, when you were a little kid and you had a picture book and you could read the story in the picture and you really thought you were reading, and you were. But, you know, just if you take the words, each Lenormand card is a word, but it doesn't come alive until it's attached to other cards, meaning other words, right? I give the example of, you know, the word dog. Okay, we all get a certain idea in our head, right? Something with a snout and four legs and a tail. But that's it when we say dog. But when we attach other words to it, that dog comes alive for us, you know, in terms of color and personality and fangs and whether they're friendly or not. And do you see what I'm saying? We have to add other words to that word dog. Lenormand is like that. You take a single card, but then you add other words, other cards, and you know, you can tell either a very basic story or the most eloquent story ever written or spoken. And Lenormand is story.
It's a great way of describing it. So when people come to you with questions, they just give you like short questions, or do they ever come to you with like long, drawn out, I need help with major
things? I will say that as important as, I'll say this. The question in Lenormand is very important. And so sometimes I will rephrase a question so that Lenormand understands it. But lots of times that's not how people come to me with. People will say, I want to know about where my life is going in terms of love or work or health or friendship. So really all I need is the area. And when I'm given the area, there's a particular spread that I devised. It's in the book. Someone asked me years ago, what's the name of it? And I was like, I don't know. So they call it the Erica reading. And it's a riff on the traditional 5-card Lenormand spread. And I pick a card in the center, and that represents the issue that the person's asking me about. And then I pull cards around it and pull more. And then I come up with a very coherent narrative that talks about past, present, and future of this issue. See? So really, you know, all you need to do is give me an area. Sometimes people don't have an area. I had this a couple of days ago, and then again yesterday, where the person said they didn't know what to ask. I said, okay, well, why don't I draw as a focus card the card that represents you, right? That was the woman card. And we'll just see what's around you. And I said, I want to tell you that what will come up will be whatever's in the front of your mind or whatever's in the back of your mind that you don't really want to bring up, or the thing that's overarching and all other things in your life sort of hinge on this particular area. And invariably, that's what happens. And I love when people ask me, when people say, I don't know, just whatever you, you know, a lot of tarot readers will roll their eyes at that. Like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. But I love it because it's an opportunity for me to show spirit off, essentially, because spirit will come up with exactly what that person needs to know and exactly the area of their life that they really are having an issue with.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that. Would you be willing to do a short reading?
Yeah, not 2 hours today. Worth, but I'd be willing to do a short
reading. No. I know that you have stuff to do. Let me think. What can I give you?
Well, again, you can give me an area of your life that you'd like me to look at. Of course, this okay. is being disseminated broadly, so you might want to yes. account for that.
That's why I'm like, what should I talk about? Exactly. Well, okay, I'm currently in school to become clergy.
Oh.
Pagan clergy. And I'm trying to decide where my focus should be. Like where I should focus my ministry or my community involvement.
Happen to have my deck handy. Now, I'm just going to shuffle because I'm putting together a video course. And so I had the cards all in order because I was going through them, you know, on the screen.
Right.
But I will say this while I'm doing that. The card for some people will say, what is my life purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a card for that. And it's the same card as the card for career. And not that those are always the same thing, but mm-hmm. it just so happens that it's the same card. So I think, you know, we're looking at sort of a, maybe a combination of those things. Life purpose, career. And the card is the moon. The Lenormand moon, if you know tarot, you have a certain idea of what the moon is all about. This is not that. The moon is the card for reputation. It's the card for self-image. It's the card for your own understanding of your right to take up space in the world in the way that you do, right? So I'm going to look and cut the deck into three piles. And this deck is called Erica's Lenormand of Hope, which is available. And what I'm going to do is just flip the cards over one by one until I get the moon. Unfortunately, we're not doing tarot, so it's not 78 cards I flip over. It's 30-something. But here's the moon. And this moon card is, the moon here is surrounded by a plant called Datura. And Datura is a plant, a flower that only opens under moonlight, which is very cool. So I put that in the middle. And then I take the two cards that precede it and put them to the left. And I still have cards in my hand, so I'm taking the two that follow and put them to the right. Now, what's interesting, I'm not finished pulling cards, but I want to show you what I have so far. I have the heart. I have the older man. Each Lenormand deck nowadays has two men, two women. I differentiated mine by age, but this is the older one. Then we have that moon card. Then we have the cross, and then we have the rider. And I said I want to pull more cards, and that's because of cross and rider. So I think this is something, a field that you have a love for. You know, I came very close to becoming an Episcopal priest. I did all the coursework. I have the Master's of Divinity degree, but then there's that whole ordination track. And right. No, wasn't doing that. So for reasons which, you know, I could go into. But anyway, this card. Sometimes a man is a man, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes a man refers to energy, a certain kind of energy. And here we're talking about yang energy or yang energy, depending on how we want to pronounce it, right? And that energy is forceful, dynamic, assertive, all of those things. That's the kind of energy. So it feels like you're not going to just be sitting with your hands folded in a pew, so to speak. You know, this is there's a dynamism attached to this. Then we have the moon. I love that this card came up because the cross is the card for religion in any form, any form. Doesn't Buddhism, Judaism, ironically, it's the cross. It's also the card for altruism. And I think that that's important to bear in mind. It's the card for pain, but it doesn't have to be. It can be the card for religion and altruism. And then we have the rider. Now, what's that about? The rider is about news coming in. Well, obviously, if you're going into ministry, you know, that's about bringing good news, so to speak. So what I will do is I will pull some clarifying cards on both the cross and the rider. And we'll see what we have. So clarifying the cross, I have a fish. I have letter, and I have mice. Okay. Fish. Fish is a card that deals with emotion. It deals with money too, but we're not talking about money. It's about emotion, people's feelings, people's emotions. The letter is probably the most frustrating card in Lenormand because it's anything in writing. So you may be doing writing around people's emotions, we'll just say. And then we have this, mice. Now, I would say 9 times out of 10, mice is a negative card. So mice can be anxiety, stress, worry. So when you're asking where you should focus your ministry, your work, I mean, helping people, this is also not just emotion, but lots of people, because it's a card of a lot of fish in the sea, so to speak. Helping people maybe articulate in some form that's written their emotions, their anxiety, their stress, etc. Now, then we have the rider, if you recall. That's what's coming in. And we have the clarifiers on that. Is tree, anchor, and dog. Now, I'm going to say broadly about this. The tree is the card for health in all forms, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. It's also the card for ancestors, genealogy, that our line, or, you know, our line. And then anchor. The anchor is a funny instrument because on the one hand, an anchor keeps us safe, but it also can keep us stuck. And sometimes we mistake stuckness for safety, right? And it's important to differentiate those things. And then we have the dog. Now, in the context of the question, the dog is an advisor, a counselor, a therapist, a social worker, someone in the clergy. This is someone you can trust, rely on, go to help solve issues. Their intention is never nefarious, but only ever to help. So it feels very much about healing family dynamics, feels like helping people articulate their issues around that particular issue. That's what I feel like you're called to do. Make sense?
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually part of where I was thinking I was going to head. That and helping with rites of passage, death, things like that, helping families cope
with
those
things. Well, right. And I mean, those are all areas that people have a lot of stress and anxiety around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do they say? Nobody gets out of this life alive. I mean, all of us walk mm-hmm. that path eventually. And, mm-hmm. You know, learning how to think about it and navigate it with grace and peace is a gift if you can learn to do that, if you can be taught to do that. So, you know, and again, providing safe space, right, for people to sort of air all of their feelings, around this stuff would be a good use of your time and talents.
Fantastic. Wow, what a great reading. That felt right. It felt good. Thank you. You are very good at what you do.
I'm going to say with the man card, you know, lots of careers nowadays are not, for example, teaching like mine. In other words, people don't stay in careers for 30 years anymore. Nobody does that. Mm-hmm. Also, nobody says, you know, I want to be a this or a that or the other. A lot of times, I mean, people are doing really interesting, creative, hybrid-y types of careers. And that requires yang energy because the temptation is to say, well, I never heard of that career. Or I don't know anybody that's doing that. Or, you know, that's not, you know, mainstream or legitimate. But it's saying, no, you know what? I see that there's a need for this and I'm going to create it. And yeah, it may be hybrid. And yeah, there may be some experimentalism involved in what I do. But I'm just the person for the job. Doesn't matter. You don't have to be male or female. This is that energy, that yang mm-hmm. energy.
Interesting. I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So do you think that you will be writing any more books after this one?
I think I'm a born writer. One of the things that I do every week is I have I guess you call it a blog. I write an article on Substack. If you put my name in Substack, it'll pop up. It's called In the Company of Cards. And what I do is I use three oracles. I use tarot, Lenormand, and an African oracle called the Adinkra. And I talk about, sometimes it's personal stuff. Sometimes it's the news of the day or the political landscape or whatever. I let tarot drive what the subject is. And then Lenormand explicates it and Adinkra kind of sums it up. And so I do that every week. And I really enjoy that. And I will always be a writer. I'm looking at next things. I'd love to do either memoir or a novel, maybe experimental in nature. I would probably utilize Lenormand just to show people how it can function in a novel, right? So I'm thinking about a lot of different things in terms of
that's things. Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I would love to write a novel. I started at college because I was an English major and I specialized in creative writing. And I think I'm about 150 pages in, and then, you know, I had kids and life and all that happened and I put it down. So one of these days I'll pick it
up. Do you want me to look at it for you?
Sure, if you'd like.
All right. And then after that, we'll let the cards sleep. So I'm going to, again, I would like to shuffle. I shuffle in a very intentional way. I never bridge shuffle because I feel like I'm doing sacred work and I don't want to go with my cards.
So, that's fair.
So I shuffle with some intention. And this time, the card I'm going to look for is the book. Now, in Lenormand, the book card usually refers to things that are hidden, things that we don't know. But sometimes a thing is a thing is a thing. And so if my intention is that it stand for your novel, that's what the card will stand for. Okay. So I'm going to look for the book. See what's up with your novel. Okay, so here is the book. I'm putting that in the center. The two cards that come before it and the two cards that come after it. Very interesting. So I have the coffin. I have the younger woman. Then the book. Then the anchor. And then again, our older man. Now, the coffin tells me that you have put it to the side for now. Put it to rest. Yes, something that you thought of a long time ago when you were younger. So there's that. Now, we do a thing in Lenormand called mirroring, meaning there's certain cards that we can look at together. So in that line of five, coffin, young woman, book, anchor, and man, the cards that I can mirror together are this pair. And also this pair. So one of the things that I'm being told, as they say, is that don't feel like you have to stick with your your outline or your idea the way that you envisioned it back then. Because people change, we change. And you don't want to feel that you're stuck with that. Now, we have the coffin and we have the older man. The coffin is, you know, there's a lot of negative associations, well, obviously, negative associations with the coffin, but there's actually one positive one. And that is that this is the card for transformation. Now, why is it the card for transformation? Because in order for something to become something else, it has to first cease being the thing that it was, right? In order for water to become ice, it has to cease being a liquid so that it can be a solid, right? Mm-hmm. So you're being asked to transform your idea of what it is you're going to write, and to do it in this yang way, right? To not get stuck and say, well, yeah, but this was what I intended. Mm-hmm. Life takes us places and we morph, we change, our perspective morphs and changes. And so don't feel hesitant at all to transform. You know, I don't know, let's say it was a novel based in 1800s on the prairie. Mm-hmm. And now you want to have it be, I don't know, in outer space in the year 3000 or whatever. You know, there will still be themes that are the same because human beings are human beings. But mm-hmm. feel free to transform whatever you need to transform, whether it's the setting, the time, the characters, whatever it is. Feel like you have the right to do that. Make sense?
Yes, fantastic. Yes. Thank you.
And you know what? You'll know right now. When the time is right, you'll know. So don't let it depress you, because that's a coffin as well, that you've not pursued it. Things happen, and you know, like fruit ripens in its own time.
Yeah. Wow, that was great too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Usually now we would do a card pull together, but we just did that. So
there you go.
Do you want to talk about, do you have any events coming up? Or
we do, but I'm there for overseas. Well, not really overseas, but I'm doing an event in Canada, in the little town of Elora, Ontario. And that's going to be in May. And then a bigger event in Kingston, Ontario in November. So those are the two events coming up. And in the meantime, I'm putting together this video course, and mm-hmm. that's taking a lot of time and, you know, working on my own writing. And I'm always open to read for people. So you can find that information on my website. If people would like a reading.
What is your website? I think I have it up here somewhere, but.
Yeah, it's Lenormand with Erica, www.lenormandwitherica.com.
Awesome. And I will, of course, link that in the show notes and put it on my resource page. Do you have Instagram or Facebook?
On Instagram, yeah. I am divine_withme. One word, with me.
Okay. And I do see that you're also, well, you talked a little bit about it, but you're on the Substack. So Substack.
Yeah, Substack as well, in the Company of Cards. But if you just look for my name, you'll find the Substack
perfect.
There.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this was so much fun. I really enjoyed chatting with you, and I'm looking forward to your course when it comes out. Definitely let me know when that happens. Yeah, thank you so much.
Good.
I appreciate
just
you.
Best of luck with you with school. Very thank exciting.
You. Yeah, right. Thank you. I'll let you know how it ends up.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good.
All right, perfect.
All right, thank you.
You have a wonderful evening.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at The Hearth and Hedge, on my website, thehearthandhedge.com, or you can email me at thehearthandhedge@gmail.com. I also have a Patreon that can be found at patreon.com/thehearthandhedge. If you like what you hear, consider leaving a review wherever you find your podcasts. Thank you.